I'd like to begin by saying a deep word of thanks to all of you on behalf of Lucille and her family for being here today to surround them with your love and affection, joining with them in the work of grieving, but also in the work of celebrating life eternal. This is a service in two parts, part one here in the sanctuary in God's house, but afterwards I invite you to make a right turn as you go out the main doors, head across the patio toward the room next to the playground where a reception awaits, where there will be lots of time for you to share stories and memories with Lucille and the rest of the family that I know many of you would love to do in this part of the service. That's why that time is as holy a time as it is over here. And so I welcome you in the name of Jesus, Savior of the world. We are gathered here to worship, to proclaim Christ, crucified and risen, to remember before God our brother Frank, to give thanks for his life, to comfort one another in our grief, to commend him to our merciful Redeemer, and celebrate the resurrection. On the day of his baptism, God made a promise that would never break. And St. Paul echoes that promise in the book of Romans, where he writes, "When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." I invite you to reach in front of you, or in some cases underneath you, to where you'll find a red book. Open to hymn number 638, and please stand as we sing Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit are with us, let us pray. God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our brother, Frank Paul. We thank you for giving him to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage here on earth. And now, in your boundless compassion, console us as we mourn and give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until by your call we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. A reading of the 121st Psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And the one who watches us and keeps us speaks to us in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John when he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. There are quite a few places in Scripture where it's described how our names are already known, our lives already known by God, and in fact, our story is written in God's book. And if God has a book that has our story in it in heaven, shall we say, then I'm also persuaded that we each have a book of life here on earth. It's the story that sometimes gets written down on paper or on videotape, as it were, but most of the time it's written here and in here. The stories, the experiences, the times that you shared with someone like Frank, the successes and the setbacks, the joys and the sorrows. And this afternoon, I'm going to call on longtime and dear friend Randy Churchill, who will be followed by daughter Carol, to give some words to that book of life.
Good afternoon. As I walked up here, I could hear Frank say, piece of cake, I've got your back, so let's go. It's an honor to be asked by the Miley family to say a few words about Frank as we celebrate his life. Last week at Bible study, Rick Gardner described Frank as a kind, gentlemanly man, and we all agree. We feel he was a quiet, gentle giant of a man, not of stature, but as a kind and compassionate human being with a great heart. During his work life, he was an Army veteran, civil servant for the U.S. Navy, worked until he was 83 years old. I got a couple more years. Holds three U.S. patents. His main focus during his career was on electronic warfare. He worked on devices to jam the enemy's radar, created a system that would fool the enemy as to the location of the plane. This was actually used in fighter jets, and created a system to make the plane disappear. Pretty spooky. And he kind of liked the Klingon cloaking device in Star Trek, if you've ever watched Star Trek. This was one, however, too large to fit into a fighter plane. Before he retired for good, he was advising the Department of Defense what they should be doing and be prepared for the next 10 years. I hope they listened. Frank was introduced to Lucille through mutual friends. Pretty early on, they became an exclusive couple. They would go out every evening for coffee. They talk of a marriage, and Frank swore he asked Lucille to marry him, but Lucille doesn't remember that. They were always each other's best friend and traveled a long life's road together for 64 years. Along the way, they faced many challenges, which they met with love and faith. Among those was taking care of their daughter, Denise, and a few of us were privileged to know her, who was physically disabled. They performed each task with grace and did all they could to make sure Denise lived as full of a life as possible. They also made sure Carol did not feel neglected. Frank would always call for his little helper to assist him in a garage on some project. Having his little helper assist him probably made the project more difficult and probably took a lot more time than if he'd done it himself. But it made you feel good, didn't it, Carol? Health. Frank and Lucille had been very active during their life together. They loved to travel, play tennis, snow ski, water ski, and play bridge, and probably a lot of other things. Betsy Lee Myers tells us that for 15 years, she and Jean would spend a week in Palm Springs with Frank and Lucille. They played a little tennis, and then they played bridge morning, noon, and night, keeping a running score. Guess how many years Frank won? All 15. When Frank had a heart attack over 30 years ago, he and Lucille formed what I call the Great Health Team, watching what they ate and exercising. You'd have to give me some of those exercises. This, I believe, allowed Frank to grace us with his presence and live as long as he did. At Bible study, again, Rick said, he would see Frank and Lucille at the 24-hour fitness center early in the morning. At that time, Frank would go from machine to machine with his walker. Rick felt that he should have been the poster kid for the fitness center. I don't know if you all know, Frank was an artist and created incredible pen and ink pictures. He was gracious enough to donate those to our church make and bake auctions throughout the years. They were always a favorite item and well received. Many of his creations are proudly displayed in homes and around town. Gail Baird brought her painting that she bought at one of these auctions to share with us today. And Gail says it's not for sale. Truly a man of many talents. In his faith, Frank volunteered with the church was important to him. In fact, the first day he joined as a member of First Lutheran, he was asked to go clean up the VFW hall in time for the services, which he did, of course, without question. He also facilitated the loan that allowed First Lutheran to buy their church, to build their church. I guess they didn't buy it. He was a Sunday school teacher and a treasurer of the church. Along with Lance and Barbara Berglund, he disassembled an organ down in the valley, reassembled, and installed it here at Mount Cross. An amazing task. Pastor Clanrod, I talked to him, and he sent the following. Pastor Clanrod was a pastor of the First Lutheran Church and says the following. When LaVon and I moved to Camarillo, Frank was treasurer of the congregation. Trustees agreed to have the congregation pay our water bill. This worked fine for a couple months. Then one day I encountered a man turning my water off. Well, I said, we don't pay our church, but that our church pays the bill. He just looked at me. And then it turned out that Frank was on an extended time in Washington, D.C., and unable to get the bill paid. He said that Frank was extremely embarrassed about that. Gail reminded me, and I think it's true, that every good Lutheran loves their coffee, and Frank loved his coffee after every worship service, and an extra smile came if there were some sweets with it. Frank, you are a kind and gentle giant, and you will be forever in our hearts. We have all been blessed by you. Goodbye, my friend. Now I'd like to introduce Carol, Franklin Lucille's daughter.
On behalf of Mom and our family, we want to thank Randy for that beautiful, beautiful tribute to Dad, and we want to thank each one of you for being here today to celebrate Dad's life. It really means the world to us. A couple days ago, Mom and I were talking, and she said, you know, Dad and I, we've done every single thing we ever wanted to do. But, you know, I know that isn't exactly true. There was one thing my dad didn't get to do, and it relates to skiing. Now, my dad learned to ski in Minnesota when he was a boy, and there was a small hill behind their house, and, of course, there's lots of snow in Minnesota, and they had one of those old pair of skis, you know, the wooden ones that you see now on the walls as decoration. And he and my Uncle Bud would carry that old pair of skis up to the top of the little hill, and they'd take turns strapping it onto their shoes and flying straight down the hill, because, of course, you didn't turn in those skis. And Dad told me that he just loved that. That was the best time. He really enjoyed it. Well, they moved, you know, when he was about 10 or 11 years old, and never again did they have a hill with snow on it in their backyard. So he kind of forgot about skiing until I was in high school. And I went to Moore Park Junior College, and I took a class on how to learn to ski. And it was on fake snow. And I went with my friends, Leslie and Becky, and Mom and Dad thought, gee, We'll give them a treat. We'll take them to Snow Valley so they can get to ski on some real snow. So we got there and we headed right over to the beginner run, and it had a tow rope, and we grabbed on and ran up the hill and ran down, and we all just, you know, Leslie and I, we liked it. We just really having a good time. But my friend Becky, oh, not so much. You know, she spent lots of time sitting on the snow trying to get up. So about lunchtime, she quit, and as Randy mentioned, my dad was a giant of a man, but he was a little small in stature, and my friend Becky was large in stature, so my dad could actually fit into her boots and her ski jacket, which, of course, had the lift ticket on it. So he put on her boots and her skis and her very feminine fur-trimmed powder puff blue jacket. And he reached out with both hands and he grabbed hold of that rope tow, and off he went. And, you know, he just loved it. He was a skier once again. So for the next few years, he skied a lot. He skied with me, he skied with friends, and then, as Randy mentioned, he had a heart attack. So his doctor sat him down and he said, you got two choices. One, you can have this very sedentary life, and you're not going to get to do any of these things that, you know, you love to do, like skiing and water skiing and bicycling and backpacking and yada, yada, yada. Or you can have bypass surgery. So, you know, bypass surgery was a little risky, and Dad thought about it for a while, and he decided he wasn't ready to hang his skis up on the wall. So he reached out with both, you know, he still wanted to reach out with both hands and grab the tow rope of life and go flying. So he elected to have the surgery, and it was very successful. And a couple years later, he was back on the ski slopes. And that's when Dad and I started skiing together, and we would choose a new resort every year. And we did that until my kids came along, and they were could ski. They were old enough to ski. And then we as a family, went to Heavenly Valley. Now, Heavenly Valley was the perfect resort for our family because my husband, Charlie, doesn't really ski, but he likes to gamble. And Heavenly Valley is in Tahoe. And my mom doesn't ski, but she likes to hang with the family. So we would ski at Heavenly Valley every year after that. Now, for those of you who don't know skiing, there's a lot of downtime when you're skiing. There's 10 minutes up on the chairlift and, you know, a minute to ski down. So you have a lot of time to talk. And my dad and I talked, and we talked about anything and everything. Why I should care about physics. What's going on in the world and what type of person you should be. And I have to say that's one of the things I loved most about being with my dad was talking with him. And it's really what I'm going to miss the very most. But one of the things we talked about was how long he envisioned himself skiing. And he would say, well, I'm going to ski till 90 because I really want to be skiing for free, right? And it used to be that when you got to a certain advanced age, they would reward you and not charge you to get up on the ski slope. Well, every time my dad got close to that ski for free age, they would raise it, right? So the last time we went skiing, he was about a month shy of 80, and he still was not old enough to ski for free. And then he had the problem, the neurological problem with his feet. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to his doctor down at UCLA, and he told me that one in a million people who had my dad's condition would ever walk again. One in a million. And that just shows you what passion for life my dad had, because he reached out, he grabbed onto that tow rope, and he pulled himself up onto his feet, and he did walk again. I mean, as Randy said, maybe sometimes with a walker, but he was walking, he was going to the gym, he was getting stronger, and he would tell me part of the reason he was working so hard. Now, I have to say, I don't know if my dad was pulling my leg, but he said, well, I'm going to go skiing, and I'm going to ski for free, you know? So, you know, that's the one thing he didn't get a chance to do, but last night, we had a chance to spend some time with him, and I took his old heavenly ski pass, and I tucked it in his pocket. So when he reaches out and he grasps hold of that tow rope with both hands, he's all set to fly down the heavenly ski runs. And I'm sure he's going to have a huge smile on his face, because I would think, at least in heaven, you get to ski for free, right? to sum up, I've been thinking about my dad, of course, so much the last week, and what I wanted to talk about, and there's a line from a movie that just kept popping into my head, and it's a line by Coach Harris, I think, Maris, what was his name? I have to get my glasses out. Coach Hallis, excuse me, from the movie Brian's Song. And I would like to leave you with this this line. He also left a great many loving friends who will miss and think of him often. But when they think of him, it's not how he died that they remember, but how he lived, how he did live.
Get to follow that. Well, first Jesus does. Here are his words in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, where he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I never would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." One of the nicest guys you will ever meet. As we gather here today to say goodbye to Frank, but also say thanks to God for the way he shared Frank with us and has now kept his promise to receive him, those are words that anybody who knew him would easily and eagerly say. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And that got me to thinking about other guys, other men who you might say the same thing about. Other men who might have some things or a lot of things in common with Frank. Men who were sincere and generous and gracious gentlemen. And I suppose it's because of this particular weekend and the fact that I'm a baseball fan that the name of Vin Scully popped into my head. But as much as I or any other Dodger fan would say they love Vin and will miss hearing him call baseball games for the Dodgers after he steps away from the microphone this weekend, I'd have to say on closer inspection, Vin Scully is not the guy that I would compare Frank to. No. And here's why. I know that Vin Scully is a loving father and grandfather and husband, and he's told us that in these last days. And he has that in common with Frank, I know that. But when you think of Vin Scully, you pretty much think of one thing. One thing. The way he can, in a matchless way, call a ball game for the Dodgers. One thing. But when I think of Frank, I think of lots of things. Lots and lots of things. So I decided that Frank has a lot more in common with a man whom somebody once said of him, he has done everything well. And of course, the people who spoke those words said those words about Jesus right after he'd healed somebody. Well, I know if Frank were sitting in the pew right now, he'd be squirming hearing me comparing him with Jesus. And I get that. I would be too. But I'm not trying to make Frank out to be perfect or better than he was. There are a lot of words that we use to describe Jesus, and perfect is one of those. And one of the ways I know Jesus to have been perfect is that he took all the gifts and abilities and skills and talents that his Father God gave him and used them to the fullest, absolute fullest. And he practiced what he preached, and that's why he said to us, don't hide your light under a bushel, but let it shine. Well, I'm not going to use the word perfect to describe Frank, but he was also not a one-trick pony, to use an old expression. We've heard from Randy and from Carol about some of the many dimensions of his life, how he was a brother, a husband, a father, and a friend. He was an engineer. He served to defend our country, even if they gave him a gun with no bullets in it. He was a Bachelor of Science, a Master of Business, an administrator, a consultant, a builder of black boxes, and an old crow. I'll have to find out what that really is. He was a faithful member of First Lutheran and of Mount Cross Church, a Sunday school teacher who taught at least one who's in the room, I know, maybe others. He was a tennis player, snow skier, water skier, backpacker, bridge player, avid reader, and infectious smiler, masterful artist, as we have heard and seen, the son of a pastor, the nephew of three, and a brother of another. As you've heard, he was an organ builder and a kind of guy who loved to find something, take it apart, put it back together, and make it better than it was. A gifted man in so many ways, who let his light shine in so many ways, and did so many things well. And one thing that I will add to that list is the way he served me and this church as the chair for a period of time of what we call our mutual ministry committee. I remember Frank telling the story about the church you belong to in Fresno, and they were going to start a mission church, and they were looking for people from the established church to pick up and be the nucleus of the new church. And he said, we'll do that. And I thought, wow, that is really something. Because a lot of people would have said, you know, I really feel at home here. I'm really comfortable here. I'm sure somebody else will do it. When I heard that, I knew I wanted Frank to be a part of this group that not only cared for and supported the pastor, but had a vision and a sense of what the church was really all about. One more example of something Frank did well. I don't want to belabor the Vin Scully point, but there is one more thing that the two of them have in common. And it's a common denominator that I hope we all have in common, at least take the example from Frank. Because I know Frank would say the very same thing I've heard Vin Scully say recently. All of his ability is all a gift from the grace of God. And that's it, pure and simple. All of us who knew Frank are so grateful for the way he held the hand that held him, received from that hand so many talents, so many abilities, and used them in honor of his Lord and in service to his church and his friends and family, enriched so many lives in so many different ways because of the grace of God in his life. Into that grace, Frank was baptized in Minneapolis all those many years ago. In that grace, Frank lived his whole life. And now because of that grace, Frank is in the presence of the perfect one who has done all things well for Frank and has also promised to do all things well for us too. Amen. I invite you to reach for the red book again, and in the front section this time, page 282. Page 282 in the front, you will find the Apostles' Creed, which is followed by the prayers of intercession. Page 282. With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, in holy baptism, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion of saints in the body of Christ. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to share the new life in Christ. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to all who mourn, and a sure and certain hope in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may have strength for the days ahead. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage, and who walk as yet by faith, that where this world groans in grief and pain, your Holy Spirit may lead us to bear witness to your light and your life. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Help us in the midst of things we cannot understand to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, we give you thanks because by his death, our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. So today, make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead and in whom our hope of resurrection dawns. The sting of death has been removed by the glorious promise of his risen life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it for all to drink and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering the way he taught us, together we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. We welcome all the baptized who trust that in bread and wine we meet Jesus, and he is eager to forgive our sins as we meet him there. We welcome all Christians, Lutherans, Baptists, Roman Catholics, Episcopalians, Methodists. You get the idea. So if you're comfortable, we're happy to have you at our altar. The ushers will guide you up the aisle in two lines. I will meet you with a piece of bread. Please hold it. As you move to the right or left where the cup is, dip the bread into the wine to receive them together. This is the feast of victory for our God. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, your love is stronger than death, and your passion more fierce than the grave. We rejoice in the lives of those whom you have drawn into your heavenly embrace. Keep us joyful in communion with them until we join the saints of every people and nation gathered before your throne in ceaseless praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let us commend Frank Paul to the mercy of Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Frank. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. I invite you to stand for the blessing and our ascending hymn. The Lord bless you and keep you. And let his face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. I invite you to turn your book one more time to hymn 779, Amazing Grace.
put this? Okay. I just want to make sure. Thank you very much.